So I want you to know that I'm going to try and do that right now. There's so much to say on the parasha, and sometimes I just fill my head with so much stuff. I may very well begin. Yes, I am going to begin with number 5 of all things. Number 5 is the second side. I want to read and translate the first few psukim in the Haftorah of this week, the Haftorah of Parashat Ki Tavo. Kumi Ori, Kivo Orech, arise and shine, for thy light is come. Ukvod Hashem Olayich Zorach, and the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now risen upon you. We're talking about great things are happening to the Jewish people. Yeshayahu, and he will describe it right away, is telling us that there are unbelievable times. There's great light that's shining down. And how is it going to express itself? Kinei hachoshech yechase oretz, darkness will cover the earth, va'arofel le'umim, and there will be a cloud over the nations, bod v'olayich, upon you, Israel, Yizrach Hashem, God will shine, uchvodo olayich yeroeh, and His glory, His honor, will be seen upon you. In other words, the world is going to be covered with darkness, and then all of a sudden, someplace around here, around Yerushalayim, the sun, the light is going to shine. V'holchu goyim la'orech, the nations of the world are going to walk by the light that will come from Yerushalayim, umelochim lenogal zarkech, and kings are going to march by the brightness of your rising sun. And what is it that's happening? So the Navi says, Se'is aviv einayich, just turn your eyes around, just take a look around you, uri'i, see what's happening. Kulam nikbitzu bo'olach. All of them, all of your children, have gathered and are coming unto you. Jews are coming to Eretz Yisrael. Bonayich me rochok yovou. Your sons are going to come from afar. Ubenotayich outzad teomena. And your daughters shall be nursed at your side. They're coming. Men, women, children, they're flowing toward Eretz Yisrael. Oz tiri, this pasuk is very important. This is the pasuk. Oz tiri, then you're going to see. Vinohart can mean either you will be full of light, or vinohart can mean and you will flow too toward Yerushalayim. Ufachad v'rachav levaveich, and your heart shall fear. Fachad v'rachav, and your heart is going to be enlarged. In a sense, there's going to be such a great pride, great joy. Now, these are two very conflicting emotions that seem to be side by side. Great fear, and at the same time, there's a sense of great joy. Ki yehofech olayich hamon yam. The abundance, the chel yam, the abundance of the sea will come over you. It means sort of wealth is going to be pouring in. And chel goyim yavou lach, the riches of nations shall come to you. And the Navi is going to go on. If you'll just take a look at the last line, the famous pasuk, mi eile ka'ov te'ufeno, v'chayonim el rubotayim. This is a very famous pasuk from the Haftarah that you're going to turn around and you're going to look at, where did they all come from? Where did they all come from? Mi eile, who are these? Ka'ov te'ufeno, have flown here like a cloud, v'chayonim, and like pigeons who return to their nest. V'chayonim, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the dove to their windows? Arubotayim means their resting place where they come. There's of course the famous verse of Rav Kook,
Rav Cook, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook said that there are going to be two kinds of Jews that are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. There are those that are going to be like the cloud, and there are those that are going to be like pigeons. The difference between a cloud and a pigeon, the cloud goes wherever the wind propels it to go. There is no internal mechanism inside the cloud. As the wind blows, so the cloud goes. The pigeon, the dove, has its natural homing mechanism. It knows precisely where it's going. It can come from the very ends of the earth and know exactly where to go to. So he says there are going to be two kinds of Jews that will return to Eretz Israel. There are those who are going to go because the wind is blowing in that direction, or the storm is pushing them in that direction. Circumstances with the world all shut and only one place to go, like clouds, not necessarily inner propulsion, but a propulsion from without. And then there are always going to be those Jews that are going to come like doves, like pigeons coming straight home. They know exactly where they're going to. Their propulsion to come home is from within. It's not from without. So here we are. The Navi is describing the great return of Jews to Eretz Israel. But he also says, at the same time, Ufochad v'rochav levavech. There's going to be fear. At the same time that there's going to be a sense of great pride, an opening and a broadening of the heart. What does it mean, ufochad? So some of the Mefarshim say that the ufochad means that sometimes a person becomes very overwhelmed, even by the outpouring of great blessing. Everything's going well, and everybody's gezint, and panuse berevach. It's all so great. You know, you begin to wonder. You begin to be frightened, like, how long is this going to last? Is this bubble going to burst at any moment, and everything is going to fall apart? It may also mean, and that's the meaning that we're going to take, and of all things, this pasuk ufachad v'rochav levavech, or these few psukim, were the opening paragraph to Rav Cook's great speech at the dedication of the Hebrew University in 1925. They dedicated the Hebrew University. There were about 25,000 people on Har HaTzofim. Lord Balfour was there, came from England. Herbert Samuel, who was the High Commissioner of Eretz Israel. Great Jewish leaders from all over the world. And Rav Cook began his speech. By the way, they didn't want him to speak. And he told them that if he does not speak, he's not coming. He will come only on condition that he speaks. All right, so they were stuck. They had to have, how can you not have the chief rabbi present at the dedication of the Hebrew University? And then, so of course, then they told him, you know, like, keep it brief, you know. Keep it brief. Keep it short. All right. It was a brilliant speech, and unfortunately, it was full of prophecy. Full of prophecy. He begins by saying, Navi Hanechama Omer. The prophet of consolation says, Si'i Saviv Einayich. And I can imagine him saying it. 25,000 people spread out over Har HaTzofim. Take a look, Ri'i. Kulam Nikbitzu Boloch. They've all come. Your sons and your daughters from afar. Then when you're going to see it, Ufachad V'rochav Levavech. There's going to be fear. There's going to be great joy side by side. So he said then, with great courage and with great prophecy, he said, if the Hebrew University is going to respect Torah, if those who teach Torah are going to be people who are shomrei Torah u'mitzvahs, if you are going to remain part of the 3,500 year tradition of the Jewish people, great blessing will come from this home. But in the event that you don't do that, this very building and this campus may very well turn into a source of great suffering for the Jewish people. So he says, at the same time that there's great joy, there's a great fear of what's going to happen. Of course, we know what happened, and what happened was that the Hebrew University became the incubator and the hotbed that created all of the so-called intellectuals who were opposed to the establishment of the state, the Martin Bubers and the Rottenstreichs and all of the rest, the whole left, and Ad Hayom Hazeh, the place from which anti-state left emerges, is all from the Hebrew University. Rav Kook Pashut spoke with great vision. It means like this, that when big things happen, there's always fear. There's fear that it shouldn't go wrong. That brings us to the Sedra. What is our Sedra? Ki tovo el haaretz, right? We're talking about Jews coming, b'hoyo ki tovo el haaretz. Asher Hashem lokecho noten loch nachala. Page 1. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about Jews who are coming into Eretz Israel. Yeshayahu already is talking about Jews who return in our days. But the same great fear and the same great joy, the joy of coming into Eretz Israel, but there are things you have to be concerned about. And when the psukim start by saying, V'hayoki tavo hel ha'aretz, then what the pasuk is really talking about is there's great joy coming into Eretz Israel. V'hoya, Chazal tell us, V'hoya always is lashon simcha, joy. Vayehi bimei always means tsar, suffering. Vayehi bimei achashverosh, so there was Haman. Vayehi bimei shvot hashoftim, and there was a famine in the land. Vayehi bimei is problematic. V'hoya is always something joyous. Very fascinating. Many say it. The word hoya is past tense. Hoya is past tense. Was. When you put the vav in front of the hoya, you know what the vav does? It turns it into future tense. You know what the word is saying? The word v'hoya is saying, if you take the past and with that you build the future, that's a source of great joy. If you are going to reject the past and think that you're going to build your own future, then you should know you're in for a great deal of trouble. But when the past and the present come together, and on that basis you build the future, that's Lashon Simcha, that's joy. All right, here they're coming into Eretz Yisrael. The first two parashiyot here, and we're going to try and read it quickly, are two mitzvot. Now, why are these mitzvot related to their coming to the land? So you see, V'ayoki tavau l'aretz, and will come to pass when you come to the land, Asher Hashem l'kecha notei l'cha nachla, that God gives you as an inheritance, v'yirishta, and you will take possession, v'yoshav tavau, and you're going to live in the land. You should take from the first of all the fruit of the earth, that you will bring from your land, that God your God gives to you. You should put it in a basket. You should go to the place that God is going to choose, that his name shall dwell there. The first fruits, bikurim. You have to put the first fruits into a basket and take it to the Beit HaMikdash. Uvatel HaKohen Ashiyeh Bayom HaHim, and you shall come to the Kohen who will be in those days. V'yomar to Elov, and you shall say unto him, Higadeti Hayom LaHashem Elokecha, I have said today to God your God, Kivati, I have come El Haaretz, Asher Nishba Hashem Lavoteinu Latet Lanu, I have come to the land that God swore to our fathers, Latet Lanu, to give to us. Now, remember, the mitzvah of Bikurim is in all generations. But what do you mean you just came? What do you mean you just came? This may be a fellow who's a seven-generation Yerushalmi, and he's going to say, Kibati El Haaretz, I've come to the land. So, of course, Rashi makes the comment, brilliant comment. Every day in Eretz Yisrael should be the feeling that you had the first day you came. Never, ever take Eretz Yisrael for granted. Never, no. Nine generations already, you understand. Ben Acha Ben, you understand. My Zayda came during the American Revolution. You understand? Nah. Then, the Kohen should take the basket from your hand, and he will place the basket with the fruit, first fruits before the altar of God, your God. You should lift your voice, you should say before God, your God. And here we come to a section that you're all familiar with. We're all, this is the crux of the entire mitzvah of Sipur Yitzhak Mitzchayim relating the exodus of Egypt. It's the text of the Haggadah. Arami Ovedavi, Lavan wanted to destroy my father Yaakov. Vayeded Mitzchayim, he went down to Egypt and he lived there. B'mesemiyot, they were a small family. Vayisham there in Egypt, he became Goy Godol, a big nation, Otzum Maidi Varov, and populated. Vayoreyu Otanu Amitzrim. You know, it's amazing. You have to listen to this word. This fellow who was saying it most probably never set foot in Mitzrayim in his life. Nobody ever caused him pain or suffering. But here is the Jew who stands before God, and what he's doing is he's connecting himself with all of Jewish history. I was there. We were there. We all suffered. The Egyptians were bad to us. And they tortured us. And they placed upon us heavy work. And we called out to God, the God of our fathers. And God heard our voice. And he saw our suffering. And our toil. And our oppression. God took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, with great fear, and the signs of the miracles. And he brought us to this place. And he gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now the man says, I have brought my first fruits. I have brought Reshit Pri Ha'adoma, the first fruits of the earth that you gave me, O God. V'hinachta l'fnei Hashem alakecho, place it before God. V'ishtachavita l'fnei Hashem alakecho, bow before God, your God. V'samachta v'chol atov, you should be very happy with all of the good Hashem natan l'cha Hashem alakecho, that God, your God, gave to you. Ula beitecha, into your house, atov ha'alevi v'ager Hashem b'sherecho, you and the Levi and the stranger that's in your midst. This is the parasha of Mikra. Bikurim. Reading, saying, making this declaration when one brings the first fruits. The fact is, the mitzvah of bringing the Bikurim was already said in Parshat Mishpatim in Sefer Shemot. What we have over here is part two of the mitzvah, which is this statement that must be made by every Jew when he brings it. If you take a look at number two, HaMitzvah HaKuf Chof Hei, that's from the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah 125, HaTzivu Shenitztarvenu, the command that we have been commanded, LaHafrishet HaBikurim ULaHaviyam LaMikdash, that we've been commanded to set aside the first fruits and bring them to the Beit HaMikdash, for who Amro Yitaleh, where is this mitzvah stated? In Parashat Mishpatim, Reshit Bikurei Admat Pcha, the first of the fruits of your earth, Tavi Beit Hashem Alekecha, you should bring to the house of God, your God. Uposhet, and of course he says, this is clear, that mitzvah zu, eino no heged elu b'fnei habayit, this mitzvah is only operable when there is a Bet HaMikdash. Ve'eino mboim elu mipeirot eretz Yisrael, v'suriyo ve'ever hayadei. You can't bring anything from the Catskills, or the any other place in the United States, or California grapes. You can't bring that. The mitzvah of Bikurim is only that which grows in Eretz Yisrael, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and Surya and Ever Hayarden are considered part of Eretz Yisrael for this mitzvah, and it's only from Shivat Haminim, only from the seven species, Eretz, Chita, Seir, Usora, Geffen, Teino, Verimon, Eretz, Zeis, Shemen, Udvash, olives, pomegranates, grapes, figs, dates. Chita and Sora. Okay. These mitzvahs have already been explained in Masechet Bikurim, and there we were told that Bikurim belonged to the Kohen. All right. So one problem that we have to deal with, and we're going to deal with a second similar problem in a moment, and we're going to deal with a third similar problem in a moment, and then we have to have time to answer all of these problems. And some of these questions I saw by Rav Moti alone, and then there are others that are discussed by other Mefarshim, but he enunciates the question very nicely. The mitzvah to bring Bikurim was said in Parshas Mishpatim. Why didn't the Torah right there tell you part two of the mitzvah? Not only do you bring the Bikurim, but there is a declaration that you have to make when you bring it. Arami, Oved, Ovi, Vayeded, Mitzchaima. All of this has to be said. Let's take a look at the next parasha. The next parasha says, Ki techalel ha'aser et kol ma'asar tfuatcha b'shana shlishit shnat ha'aser. At the end of 3 years, every 3 years, what you have to do is any ma'aser, any gifts to the Kohen and the Levi that you still have in your possession, that you haven't given, so there's Pesach of the third year, you have to make sure that you remove from your home and give everything that you're supposed to give or should have given over the last 3 years. Now, every so often there comes the moment of the accounting. For some it's, I don't know, the 15th of April, the 30th of April. Here it's the 15th of Nisan in the third year. Pesach time. Bashon Ashlishis in the third year, Pshnat HaMaaseh v'Natata, you should give whatever you have, La Levi, La Ger, La Yatom, V'La Almana, V'Ochlu B'Sharechus, V'Saveu, to the Levi, to the stranger, to the orphan, to the widow, and they should eat in your gates, and they should be sated. V'Omarto L'Fnei Hashem Elokecha. How do you like this? Here also, a statement has to be made, a declaration. What an amazing declaration. I have removed everything that is holy, I have removed from the house. And I have also given whatever has to be given to the Levi, to the Ger, to the Yatom, and the Almana. I have done all the mitzvahs that you've commanded me. Lo avarti mi mitzvotecha, I didn't transgress any of your mitzvahs with regard to what I'm supposed to give to the Levi, the Ger, the Atom, the Almanah, the Lo Shechachti. I didn't forget anything. I mean, this is quite a statement for a Jew to have to stand up before God in the Beis HaMikdash and say that I've taken care of all of my financial obligations. I would imagine that somebody would tremble and make sure that he fulfills all of his obligations so that he should be able to make this statement. Lo achalti bi'oni mimenu. I didn't eat anything at a time that I was in mourning. Cohen and Levi, you're not permitted to eat certain... No, I didn't skip anything. Lo shachachti. Lo achalti bi'oni mimenu. Next pasuk. I did not remove it in a way that made it unclean. I listened to the voice of God, my God. I've done everything that you commanded me. I mean, this is quite a statement for a person to make. And it's going to be a very significant statement, you'll see in a moment. The Jew who makes this declaration ends with a prayer. God, look down from your dwelling place, your holy dwelling place, from the heaven.
Ubarech et Amchas Yisrael and bless your people Israel. What a beautiful prayer. Every Jew says this prayer. Bless your people Israel. Ve'et ha'daman, the earth, ashenatat alanu, that you gave us. Kashenish batal avotenu, just as you swore to our fathers, Eret Zovas Cholav Advash. By the way, both declarations. The declaration that is made when one brings the first fruits ends with Eret Zovas Cholav Advash. And this declaration has a fascinating name. This declaration is called Vidui Meiser. Vidui, the confession about that which I owe. The word Vidui is known to us from Yom Kippur, Ashamnu, Bogadnu, Alchei, Shechaton, Alunach. This is Vidui, the confessional. And here, of all things, the Mishnah and the Halacha refers to this statement that I pay all my taxes. And I, you know, like at the bottom of a tax return, I say that every statement that I made in here is absolutely true. And on this day, I have affixed my signature to this, and I sign over there. This is a Jew not simply affixing a signature. He's standing before God on the Temple Mount in the Beit HaMikdash, and he's saying, "I did everything you commanded me to do." What a statement! Unbelievable statement. And then a prayer on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his drashas, deals with the question of why is this called Vidui Meiser? Vidui is a confession of sins. This man is not confessing sins. This man is making a statement that he did everything perfectly. I did kechol asher tzivitani. I did everything you commanded me. I didn't forget a thing. I didn't do anything wrong. I have fulfilled every one of my obligations. But that doesn't sound like a person who's clapping al chait like, "I, what a terrible thing I did over here." So the Rav has a very, very beautiful, idea that he expresses over here. He says that in this parasha, what's really being established is the foundation for all of tshuva. The idea that one can do tshuva, can repent, he says, stands on two pillars. One pillar is that there is a strength within the human being to be able to say, it takes great strength, but man has the strength to be able to say, "I was wrong. I made a mistake." Man can look at himself and see his inner guilt. And he can say, "Rabbeinu Shlalem, I cannot tell a lie. Oshamnu pagam." This takes great strength. All that you have to take a look is in our situation over here, how many people have said that they made a mistake, or do they just keep on making the same mistakes as they always made and look at it as though it's the greatest mitzvah of all? Nobody made mistakes. Everything is good. No, no, no. The other guy messed it up. Everything is terrific, exactly the way we figured it out. It takes great strength and great courage and real truth to be able to say, "No, I made a mistake." The Rav describes it as the hidden power of man to find himself guilty and to take a look at himself and say, "You know, I think I'm pretty big, but at times I'm very, very small." The second pillar on which all of tshuva stands is that I also believe that I have the power to change myself dramatically and drastically. I can achieve great heights. If any one of the two is missing, there's no possibility of tshuva. If a person cannot see his own guilt, there's nothing to talk about. Nothing begins. I'm right, that I was always right, and I continue to be right, and I will always be right. And don't confuse me with the facts. Don't confuse me with the facts. I'm not interested. If that's a person's approach, then he's never going to be able to do tshuva. And what happens if he sees that he was so terribly wrong, but he doesn't have trust, confidence, and faith in himself?
that he can rise from the dust, from the muck and the mire, and rise to achieve greatness. If he doesn't believe that he has that power, he's finished. He's finished. Those are the two pillars. I can see my guilt, and I can overcome. The Rav describes this in by using the Gemara, the Medrash, really all based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Shchora ani v'nava benot Yerushalayim. I'm black but beautiful. Shchora ani v'nava. That's where it came from. Shchora ani v'nava benot Yerushalayim. Benot Yerushalayim there are the nations of the world. Shchora ani v'nava. I'm black. I'm black with sin. But I also possess great inner beauty. And the Medrash gives all sorts of Shchora ni kol yemos ha-shavua. Whole week I'm Shchora, but on Shabbos, oy what? How I change, how I become on Shabbos. Shchora ni kol yemos ha-shana. A whole year I'm black, but Yom Kippur, I'm white as snow. In other words, Shchora ni v'nava represents the two possibilities. Shchora, I can see where it is that I am. That I'm lacking. I can see my own guilt. But boy, do I believe that I can be beautiful and great and powerful and rise. So he says, you know why Vidui Meiser is called a Vidui? Because if a Jew is able to say, Asiti kechol asher tzivitani, I did everything you commanded me to do. I didn't forget anything. I did everything properly. I fulfilled every mitzvah the way it should have been fulfilled. Shamati b'kol Hashem Elokai. I listened to the voice of God. If you're able to say that, that means you're ready for vidui. Because by the same token, you're also going to be able to say, Lo asiti, I didn't do everything you commanded me. No, I didn't make it. I wasn't perfect. That's vidui. And I'll tell you, I got this Shalach Manas this year from the Vad le'Echut HaSviva in Har Nov. Now, how do you say Vad le'Echut HaSviva? Echut HaChayim. You know, people are trying to keep Har Nov green. You know, so. The Shalach Manas that came, this is long gone, but I used this to schlep my storm around. Rav Nachman Breslov, Im ata ma'amin she'yecholim lekalkel, if you believe that man can destroy, ta'amin she'yecholim letaken, you should believe that man can also correct. I think this is precisely what the Rav is saying. Just the flip side. Im ata ma'amin, if you believe that man can do things correctly, or siti, I did, kechol asher tzivitami, then you can also believe that you may have been wrong, and you may have done something wrong, and you want to kalkel, and you have to do tshuva. Somebody told me, I don't know, but somebody told me that this is a, there's a Breslov niggun to this. I haven't heard the niggun. I don't know, I'm going to have to, somebody told me yesterday, go ask your grandchildren, they'll most probably know, because you know, of course, if I would know the niggun, I'd be singing it already here this morning. Im ata ma'amin she'yecholim lekalkel, if you believe that man can destroy, you have to understand that man also has the same power to correct and to fix. I believe Rav Nachman Breslov, of course, why is it used with regard to the Vav le'echut hachayim, the conservation, or because there's, huh? Not more protection, other taking care of preserving flora and fauna, the environment. Right, okay, good, we got the right word. Because there's a famous medrash that God took Adam HaRishon by the hand and he took him through Gan Eden and he told him, Ten Datcha, be careful, Shalot Tekalkel, that you don't destroy it. Because in Tekalkel, if you're going to destroy nature, who's going to come afterwards in order to correct it? So Nachman Breslov is saying, if you believe that you can destroy, you should know that man has the power to build and correct as well. So the Rav is saying this is called Vidui Maisa, because a person who can stand up before God and says, Ositi, I did, Kechol, Hasher, Sivitani, that's quite a statement. I did everything. I did everything. And now, if you can do that, then you know what's right and what's wrong, and you can therefore also find yourself guilty, and therefore you have the two possibilities, the two pillars upon which all of tshuva is built. To be able to say, I was wrong, and to believe that you can correct it all and achieve great heights. What's happening in this parasha is, Ki tavo el haaretz, when you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be great rochav lev. There's going to be a great sense of achievement and accomplishment. There's going to be great joy. But there's a fear also. Ufachad. There's going to be a fear. You have to be concerned about that fear. And these two parashas, and we're going to see some others, are going to deal with those fears. The parasha of Bikurim deals with a fundamental fear. Man comes into Eretz Yisrael. He's going to plow. He's going to plant. He's going to hoe. He's going to dig. He's going to harvest. He's going to gather in the grapes. He's going to make the wine. He's going to make the oil. He's going to work schwer and bitter from the sweat of his brow. There's always the fear that one may begin to think, why? My kochi v'otzem yodi, my might and my strength brought all of this to me. There's something about success that seems to blind, or could conceivably blind, the person to forgetting that there's a God. And it's because the Rebbeinu wanted it that you succeeded. Who is the one that gave you the strength and the might? Who gave you the land? Who brought you here? There's always the fear. And this is a fear that Moshe Rabbeinu addresses in Sefer Devarim. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot. Israel became fat and kicked away Judaism. In a sense, there's the arrogance. There's the arrogance of wealth. You begin to think that, a fella made a good investment in the stock market. Truth is, he didn't have a clue about the stock. He made an investment on Epistola Benjamin, yeah. So he thinks already that he's the world expert on everything. He can talk about Jewish education. He can tell America to pressure Israel. And he can tell Israel what to do just because he has millions or billions of bucks. So he thinks he's God's gift to mankind. And he is going to issue pronouncements, sometimes from New York and sometimes from here. All sorts of pronouncements about how we should live our lives. All right? There's a terrible fear that comes with all the effort and energy that one expends. So you know what the halacha says? What's more beloved than that first fruit? You see the fruit of your labors. So the halacha says, you see that first fruit, you're supposed to put a little bendel around it. Maybe a little red kevarachal bendel. And then when the time comes, you take those first fruits and you take them up to Yerushalayim together with all of Klal Yisrael. The Mishnah describes how Jews would travel from all of Eretz Yisrael. On the road, you'd meet Jews. Where are you going? What are you talking about? We're going to Yerushalayim. Saleinu al Teifeinu. All right? Rashainu aturim. Jews bringing, they brought it to Hamon. Masses of people came to Yerushalayim to tell the Rabbeinu Shalalem, you gave me this land, Va'ata, and behold now, I brought to you, because you are the one, you are central to my life. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people, if for a moment you begin to relax your sense of the centrality of God in Jewish life, you're in trouble. Because then you find yourself on a slippery slope to nowhere. That's the purpose of Mikra Bikurim. Why doesn't it appear in Parshas Mishpatim? Oh, that was 39 years ago. Do you know when they have to know about how to live their lives in Eretz Yisrael? Right now. They can hear the waters of the Jordan lapping up against the shore. Now you're going to have to know you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. You had better be ready to remember that this is all God who gave it to you. A few years down the line, let's say this fellow did bring his Bikurim, he did bring his first fruits, he was okay. But you know, as time goes on, you begin to take things for granted. You're successful, you may very well begin to forget the others. You know, there's a stranger in your gates, there's a Levi, there are the poor, the orphan, the widow. Did you forget them? Single parents, did you forget them? The handicapped? I mean, there are a lot of people out there that are in great need. And the only way that you're going to have a society that's going to be healthy, a society that's ultimately going to be a society of God, don't you ever dare forget the have-nots. Don't you ever for a moment let down your guard and begin to think that, no, I'm okay. I don't care whether anybody else is okay. I'm not so interested. No. Comes at the end of 3 years, there comes the idea, have you given to the Levi, the Ger, the Yatom, and the Almanah? Have you given it to them? Have you taken care of their needs? Or have you only been concerned with your own needs? What Moshe Rabbeinu was establishing for the Jewish people right now are the ideas on which a Jewish, divine, just society is going to be built in Eretz Yisrael. It can only be done if there is a sense of a God consciousness, and not that one begins to think that he is the one who has created all of this. It's extremely dangerous. We learned how dangerous it was in the Yom Kippur War. The great failing, the Mechdal, as it is called. The Mechdal was only because there was what was called the Conceptia. The Conceptia was that Egypt and Syria would never dare attack us. So even though the intelligence information was flowing in every day, they're moving, they're preparing, they're on maneuvers, all Russian advisors are leaving the country, and no, the Chevra over here at the pinnacle and peak of power is saying, it can't be. Hours before they were still saying it can't be, they had become blinded by the idea of those jungle bunnies are going to start up with us. Those barefoot Arabs are going to attack us. A colossal mistake. One of the great mistakes in history. Certainly one of the greatest mistakes in Jewish history. I've told you in the past that I'm probably going to reread the book now before Yom Kippur. Hatzofesh Nirdam, the watchman who fell asleep. Fella takes you through day by day. September till October 6, 1973. Every meeting of the cabinet, every meeting of the intelligence groups in the country, and the lesser officials, you know, the lesser officials, just as in the United States with September 11th, the lesser officials were saying, war is on the way. It's so clear. Call up the reserves. Call up the reserves. Do something. No. Can't be. They were simply so captivated by the sense of their own strength and might. Keich v'yetz miyadi is destructive. Destructive. Ma'atzit lomar. But
what
All right, okay. So, Malka, very good, very good. Okay. Yeah, I'm just talking about the concept here. You're right. Right. We're always concerned. Until today, we're concerned. Until today, we're concerned. But that's... Give me another shear for that. We'll deal with that in another shear. Everything is the concern. What will Washington say? What will this one say? I don't understand. It's unbelievable. We build a fence or we don't build a fence. Do they like the fence? Oh, they like the fence here? Or then they don't like the fence there? We won't have the fence there. They want Arafat. We need Arafat. Abu Shmaba, Abu Allah Shmaba. I mean, everything is... question. What are they doing? What do they think? We're just reacting and responding. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But that's not the shir. Don't get me away from the shir.
I apologize.
Okay. You see? She apologized. Men can see guilt in themselves. That is a fundamental principle of tshuva. So now you understand, here we have pillar number one is mikra bikurim, that a person has to see himself attached to all of Jewish history. I was in Mitzrayim. I suffered there, together with everybody else. A connectedness to all of Jewish history that knows no parallel. Mikra bikurim, unbelievable. Then my concern for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Take a look at number 8. Number 8 on the other side. Let me remind you, the last pasuk that we learned was the Jew who brings all of his taxes or has given all of his taxes to the Levi, to the Ger, the Aton, the Almanah, praise also, Hashkifa mima'on kotshecha min hashamayim, God, look from your dwelling place in heaven, uvorech et amcha, et Yisrael, ve'et ha'adama. Bless your people Israel and the earth. There are three S's there. Who needed them? Why not uvorech amcha Yisrael, ve'ha'adama? Do you understand? I just now got rid of all three times it says the word S. So the Alshech in number 8 says the following. V'od, ma bo l'rabot ha-shalosh etin. What did those three words et come? Et amcha, et Yisrael, v'et ha-adama. V'od omer, he says again, asher natat olonu, that you gave to us. V'od omer, and he also says, kasher nishbata, as you swore, hakol miyutar. It's all extra. Who needed it all? You know how many times we've heard already that you gave us the land, you gave us the land, you swore to give us the land. After you swore to give us the land, you gave us the land. Who needs it all? It's all extra. So he says, omnam, ilameid odam lo odam dat, comes to teach a person seichel. Ki kasher yivakesh brocha miyet Hashem utzidoka. When a man is going to ask for a blessing from God and that he should be righteous, Be'et Ratzon Ahi, at that moment when one is praying, that is a time of great willingness before God, Yitzaref Atzmo Atzibur, you can't ever say anything at a moment of great significance without including Klal Yisrael. And therefore it says, Rebbeinu Shem Hashkifam Imion Kotcham and Hashemayim, I want you to, your people, your Yisrael, your land. We can't, and we're going to talk about this possibly in one of the shurim to come, that a Jew can only stand up before God on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur when he is part, he sees himself as part of Klal Yisrael. If you're just going to get up to ask God for yourself, for your own needs, you're finished. You don't stand a chance. It has to be together with Klal Yisrael. Mi'etz Hashem, we will elaborate on that idea. But here the Alshech is expressing it. Man has come to the Beit HaMikdash to say, I paid my taxes. But that's not enough. This is a holy moment. You're on the Temple Mount and you're saying, I paid my taxes. At that moment, you also have to know that you must pray on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Hashkifu mimeon kodshcha min hashamayim.
uvarech and bless et amcha Yisrael. There's another parasha, and that was the subject of last week's year. The end of Parashas Kitetze was the Milchama with Amalek. Now the Milchama with Amalek we described was already told to us in Bishalach. And now the mitzvah is repeated with a different emphasis in Kitetze. Why couldn't they both be together? Just as we asked, Bikurim we were told about in Mishpatim. Why didn't the Torah there tell us that you're supposed to make a declaration? The mitzvah of giving Maaser to the Levi, the Ger, the Atom, v'Amanah was back in Parashat Re'eh. Why couldn't the Torah there have told us that there's a declaration of Vidui Maaser that you have to say? Why are they divided in two parts? And the same question we asked with regard to Amalek. The story of Amalek was in Bishalach. Why couldn't we have been told the mitzvah there? Timched Zecher Amalek, destroy Amalek. Why does God divide it in two? So it all falls into the same category. Moshe Rabbeinu is now speaking to the Jewish people who are going to go into Eretz Israel. So they have to understand the first fruit that you're going to harvest in Eretz Israel. You're going to bring that to the Beit HaMikdash. And you're going to recognize the kingship of God over you, your land, your people, and your whole life. A few years down the line, you're going to come to the Beit HaMikdash and you're going to say that I have done everything that I was supposed to do in order to assist the weak, the poor, the underprivileged. I care about every Jew. And then you know what might happen later on in history? You're in Eretz Yisrael already. And then it's going to come a time, you're going to reach a point at which there's peace and there's tranquility. Oy, what a dangerous moment that is. It falls into the same category of ufochad v'rochav levaveich. You're going to feel terrific. There's peace and there's quiet. And you know what? You may very well be ready to let your guard down and think that you can make peace with Amalek. So the Rebbein Shem says, V'hoya v'honiach Hashem elokecho mikola yevecha, when there will no longer be war all around you. Timch zochor, remember what Amalek did to you? And timch zechor Amalek. Don't make that mistake. Because at the same time that when everything is going well, you have to have the healthy sense of ufochad. You have to have that fear that there's somebody out there that wants to do you in, because that's the historical fact. So all these three parashot, beginning with the end of Parashat Ki Tetze into the beginning of Parashat Ki Tavo, are clearly related to the idea of Ki Tavo. You're coming into Eretz Yisrael. You're coming into Eretz Yisrael. You have to make sure that you are related fully to God. You know that He is the most significant other in your entire existence here. Nothing is the result of your effort alone. The flip side is, of course, also true. What happens if one is not going to plant and one is not going to plow and he's going to say, I have betochen, so I can guarantee you he'll die of hunger. So gunish zayin. There's a joint effort over here. By the way, just as there's a joint effort in the destruction of Amalek, God says, I will destroy, and God says, you destroy. It's the two of us together. The two of us together are going to make sure that Eretz Yisrael is going to be a great place in which to live. Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, these three parashiyot that already had been said earlier, and everything could have been said there, and you know what he did? He left it for now. Because now it's a terribly important message. You're getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. Remain on God alert all the time. You can never, ever let your systems down. You always have to be on the alert.
You never know when something can happen where. Don't ever fall into the terrible trap of Kochi v'otzem yodi, my strength and my might. They would never attack us. Not a chance in the world. What a tragic mistake. And you have to understand that as a part of Klal Yisrael, you have to be concerned about every other Jew. Not enough that you take care of yourself. You have to make sure that you have a system of social justice where every part of the population is taken care of, is provided for. That's your responsibility, one that has to be carried by each and every Jew individually and Klal Yisrael as a whole, collectively. In a sense, of course, whatever we're saying is also the preparation for the whole parasha of Tshuva. We're moving in next week, we move into the parasha of Tshuva. It's all going to be based on the same ideas, the centrality of God in Jewish life, the ability to say, I made a mistake, the ability to say that, yes, I did everything, knowing that I have the power. If you believe that you can destroy, you should also believe that you can correct everything.
Okay.